This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Saudi Arabia and Mexico. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark Roberts, and with us as we head into the very early hours of Thursday morning here in Qatar is Sunday Aliso, Pascal Zubabula, Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, and FIFA's Elliot Stanell with immediate post-game insight from a passionate, enthralling game between Saudi Arabia and Mexico. Listen, there are so many places we could start in a pulsating game, but Sunday Zubi, can I just get your thoughts on that second goal? Some of us were in the same seats. Yeah. In the same stadium when Richarlison scored his, and that free kick by Chavez was such and just as special. Sunday first.
Well, I think personally that stands out as probably the goal of the tournament so far. It's great that Richarlison, the way he struck the ball, the precision, and the way the ball curved in, you know, it's exceptional.
And Zubi, I guess nothing that the goalkeeper could do.
Normally, I'm protecting the goalkeepers every time, but it was a long distance. It's almost a 28 meter was this free kick, and the pace from the free kick is impressive. This is the first thing Chavez had, really a great, great free kick technique. But what I didn't like so much from Al Owais, the goalkeeper from Saudi Arabia, he had a good normal starting position, but after him he jumped with his wrong leg. He jumped with the right leg to the ball and not with the left. He had no speed, he had no tempo and no power in his right legs anymore, because the ball is not going high in the goal. The ball is around 2 meters from the ground, and I'm not sure. I believe with a better step and a better jump and a better power on his in his left leg when he would jump, then he could save this ball.
No, fantastic insight, Zubi. And about 10 minutes later, there was a similar free kick and a similar situation. He went the other side, the goalkeeper saved it. Did he do anything different, the goalkeeper, on that particular one?
But exactly then he had the right timing, the right steps, and the power, the last jump, the last power with the right feet on the right side. That makes a difference on this free kick on the second one. But on the first one, he definitely didn't have the right steps, and he jumped with the wrong feet then.
I guess before we get into the insights from the team, Elliot, could you set the scene, I guess, for us with what you observed as well?
Yeah, so as has been mentioned before, what AM game we just saw then. Loads of a high-intensity game full of pressure and loads of attempts on target. I'll start with Mexico. In terms of intensity and pressure, so they had a ball recovery time of 11 seconds. They spent 34% in defensive transition, so just showing that desire to really get back into shape and win the ball back. In the first half, that went up to 50% as well, so just goes to show just how intense they played the whole game. They had a counter-pressing state at the end of the game of 18%. Throughout the game, it was leveling at around 16%, and it actually went up in the final few minutes, so it just showed like a real desire to win the ball back and get that final goal that they needed. Coming into the game, Mexico needed to win by 3 goals to progress, and you can see that by the amount of attempts on target they had. They had 10 attempts on target and 27 attempts on goal in total. They had 15 defensive line breaks and spent 20% of their in-possession time in the final third, so I don't think anyone can accuse the Mexicans of not trying to win that game.
Alberto, you had the pleasure to watch Mexico for us tonight. What did you see in their performance?
Well, the game was a very high intensive game, thanks to the Mexicans. The Saudis were outclassed and had difficulties playing.
Bravi e fortunati i giocatori saudi a respingere.
When the Mexicans invested more, they played vertically more, and they did not allow you. In fact, they dominated the game.
sono ricorsi a diversi falli fuori area, ci hanno messo tanto mestiere per evitare danni maggiori. In fase difensiva
they were very good on picking up the second ball and they defended more, they had to work more on their right side, which was the left side of the Saudi Arabians.
Il gol è stato preso.
The goal was scored from free kick where the defenders lost the man marking.
Poi nel secondo tempo le due squadre.
Well, both in the second half both teams, you know, just like played in a toe and fro, and that it was a white pitch they played on.
La partita.
Well, the game was played on with both teams trying to take playing at the same time, trying to keep tabs on what was happening on the game between Poland and Argentina.
I think that's a very interesting point, and we'll probably get onto that more, especially in some of the games tomorrow when so many teams can go through as well. But thank you, Alberto. And I guess Sunday, sometimes you're just lucky to be in a stadium watching a game, and tonight was definitely one of those occasions. Your thoughts on Saudi Arabia, who you watch for us, and just the game in general?
Well, the Saudis came with a kind of puzzling attitude. They needed to win this game to go through, to be sure. They thought also a draw could get them through. I had a feeling that they came into the game, they just wanted to have numerical superiority. If anything they had to do from the midfield to the defence, at one point it was difficult to even say what formation they were playing at, because if the opposition threw four players forward, they put five defenders behind. The opposition threw five players forward, they put six defenders behind. That was the kind of way they were playing. And the mode they had chosen to attack with was to send long balls forward and try to counter. But the problem was, since they had numerical superiority behind, when they played the long balls forward, they had numerical inferiority in front. So the ball got there, even if the player got to him, he lost it immediately, and they were immediately under pressure. They were totally outclassed by the Mexicans, I feel, and for that reason, since they didn't have a clear way to finish, all they could do was react. And they chose to play the direct form as a means of build-up. So they didn't really play amongst themselves. Two, three passes, bam, it went forward. The goalkeeper wanted to kick out, it was going forward. In general, I think this was a game that was played more on emotions. We saw, you know, the players trying to play as not really based on tactics or that, but just let's just give a go at it if it happens. I believe the Saudis were hoping on an error from the position to just score in and then close the door. But the Mexicans really were enterprising and they really took the fight out to the Saudis. And in all, I think that it was a well-deserved victory. And I'm really, it's unfortunate that for the Mexicans, they couldn't get more goals.
Volevo concludere con quello che ho detto all'inizio, che la partita.
Well, you'd like to conclude that the game's tempo was set by the Mexicans because they were playing faster and all that.
Tra le due squadre, non poteva finire diversamente.
And I guess on that Sunday, how hard is it to get control of the game from a Saudi Arabia point of view when there is that chaos there from the opposition?
Well, to start with, the formation they set out with, they could not dominate the game. Because if you had modern-day football today, if you have really inferiority numbers in the attack, it's not so bad. But if you have it again in the midfield when they come in there and you're far from your opponents, then you have numerical inferiority in the front, numerical inferiority in the middle, and all you can do is just guess. And since they did not have a real... And one of the weak points of playing direct is that you don't have a compact team, because the ball just goes long and you have to be long, you know, wide to receive those long balls. So you don't really have a compact team that can help you. And I think that's where they suffered.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And Zubi, we spoke about that second goal before, but your thoughts on the two goalkeepers overall tonight?
Yeah, Al Owais, the Saudi goalkeeper, I have to say he's very, very active. Very active, very involved in the game, also in the build-up. He's a brave goalkeeper, and if I think again how many times he needs to support the defensive line when the ball came through or over the defensive line, how high his starting position was, that impressed me a lot. And he cleared already on the first half twice because he had a very high starting position inside the box, and he had a lot of things to do. Not everything was very, very clear, but he had a lot of work because the Mexican were attacking again and again. And on the other side, Ochoa, with a huge experience, he didn't have many balls to save. He had one or two crosses, but nothing else. But overall, it was a really great game for a goalkeeper now from the Saudis. If you have so a lot of work to do, and you do a lot of good things, of course.
No, thank you, Zubin. So just last quick question, if that's okay. You talked about the high starting position from the goalkeeper. It was a trend that was discussed at the press conference earlier today. Can you just explain what we're starting to see, I guess, in the competition?
Yeah, this is we have this also underlined by data and the numbers, of course. And today, when I go back again, Al Owais, the goalkeeper here from Saudi, he had such a high starting position. There is a mid block out of possession, the goalkeepers here in this competition compared to 2018, they are 4 meter higher. But we have also to be to tell that the defensive line is also 5-6 meters higher. But the goalkeeper's starting position in a mid block, out of possession, he is already 4 meter higher. And also in a low block, it's also interesting, the goalkeeper's starting position is 1 meter higher. You can laughing now, what is 1 meter? But it's, I tell you guys, it's inside the box. It's very high. If you are already 1 meter higher, it's a good starting position from a goalkeeper, a very offensive one.
Oh, thank you, and fantastic insight, and as you said, a trend that is gathering across this competition as well. Thanks, Zubi. So on a night both teams are eliminated, they really did put on a show. Great insights, and thank you as always to Sunday, Zubi, Alberto and Elliot. So tomorrow it's Group E and F's turn, where astonishingly 7 out of the 8 teams can still qualify for the last 16. Thank you for listening once again. Don't forget to visit the FIFA Training Centre for more outstanding World Cup resources. Good night, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.